Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and it's saying, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Somebody say filled.
Filled.
And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, a spiritual hunger, a spiritual hunger. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord, and thankful for what God is doing. Matthew was a Jewish tax collector who became one of Jesus' disciples. And if you have taken notes tonight, one of the differences, main differences between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four Gospels, the main difference that you'll notice in Matthew's Gospel is that Matthew has the genealogy of Jesus on his mother's side, and so that's just a little bit of a Bible trivia for you, for those of you that are interested in that. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 talks about the conversion or the call of Matthew. The scripture says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me, and he arose and followed him." And tonight I'm talking to you about a spiritual hunger, a spiritual hunger. I picked this scripture setting today because over the last the last month or so, the Lord has been speaking to me and kind of leading me in a deeper direction. And usually, what I have found is before I can take you, the church, into that level or direction, the Lord always has seemed to always take me to that level. And I thank each of you that have fasted today, and believe we're feeling the results of that here soon. But there's a lot of folks that are hungry in this world for a lot of things. We have folks today that are hungry for prestige. They're hungry for power. They're hungry for wealth and fame and materialism. And the scripture tells us, "But blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so, what we're reading is a portion of what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. In Capernaum, Jesus taught this sermon. It's assumed that he spent a couple days in teaching this, and it was on a hillside. There's some here today, tonight that have been to that particular area. And it is what we would call the Beatitudes. And we get that word because in Latin, B-E-A-U-S means blessings or blessed. And so that's where we get what we would call the Beatitudes, which is blessed are the meek and blessed are the peacemakers. And where we get Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so it's interesting that Jesus would use something that we could all relate to. Because we could all relate to food, and you could tell that some of us, myself included, relate to it more than others. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
And any Taco Tuesday fans in here, amen. They say, "Now you're preaching, Pastor." So we get, "Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus broke it down to a language that we could understand and we could relate to, because I don't know anybody here that wants to be hungry. You know, most of us like to eat at least 3 times a day, 4 times, 5 times. And I know that myself included, we can afford to skip a meal or two. But I don't think anybody wants to go a whole week without food by choice because you couldn't get food. We would all be looking for food, all be looking for something to eat, especially for those of you that like to drink water, realizing that you can only go 3 days without water. And so Jesus is speaking and teaching, and he's teaching his disciples. If you notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, he says that he begins to teach them. He begins to talk to them and tell them, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Righteousness is right standing with God. Righteousness is doing what is right. And it's having a divine attitude and having a divine mindset or a divine characteristic. We know people, that they don't have a good attitude. No looking around, no looking around. But we know, folks, that they don't have a good attitude. An attitude is reflected in a person's behavior. It's a position that sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it's non-verbal. We know that 80%, or some would say 75% of our communication is non-verbal. You can have a bad attitude and never say a word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But an attitude is a state of readiness to respond in a characteristic way, to something. And so, but blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness implies that we have an inner satisfaction. And what we get is sufficient from the Lord, and it doesn't depend on outward circumstances or outward appearances. Jesus taught that blessed are those that are hungry and thirst for righteousness. How coincidental that pastor's talking about being hungry and thirsty, and some of us fasted today. Amen. But Matthew 5 and 6 in the Amplified Version, if you're taking notes, I'd like you to go back and maybe read it in the Amplified Version. It says, blessed and fortunate and happily and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall completely be satisfied. I don't know about you, but if the Lord says something, I want to do what he says.
Yeah.
And if he says, blessed are they that are hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's just a recipe to be blessed and a recipe for us to be obedient to whatever the Lord is teaching and instructing us to do. And so, being right in right standing with God is more important than being right in right standing with man. But I know we live in an environment, especially nowadays, that it's all about likes and follows and approvals and comments that are favorable and stars and ratings. And so if they like you, or you get enough likes, or you have enough followers, you feel real good about yourself. But Jesus only had 12 that followed him, and one of them didn't get it. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was three. So, but he was successful. He died on the cross for our sins. So it's always right, as one man said, to do the right thing. And it's better to be right with God and wrong with man than to be right with man and wrong with God. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's a lot of hungry people in the world. Are we sharing the good news with them? If you know somebody was hungry physically, and you had the power or the means to help them, you would help them. You would find a way to take them or to lead them somewhere to get food. But we have something that this world needs. Come on, somebody. We have something that this world needs, that they crave. There's a void in everybody's life that can only be filled by God. And it's up to us that have been filled with the Spirit and know the Lord, been baptized in Jesus' name. When somebody asks us, hey, how did your day go? Or how are you going through the things that you're going through? They're hungry. They're inquired. They're not just being inquisitive. They're not being nosy. They want to know because they see something in you that they want, that they crave. And we have what they need. We can lead them to the cross. We can lead them to Jesus. And the scripture says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. How many of you want to be blessed in here tonight?
Amen.
But how many of you want your family and your friends to be blessed? And we have something that can get them blessed, is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
Money will only make you happy for so long. Materialism and stuff and things that you collect and you give will only make you happy for so long. But blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they're going to be filled. When you're hungry, you're looking for something to eat. You're hungry. You're trying to find something to eat. And one of the first points I want to, or before that point, the scripture tells us in Psalms 37 and 25, I did not give this to you, the AV, but it says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's exciting, because if you're in right standing with God, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you, because you know that all the worry is in the Lord's hands, and he's not worried. He's not stressed out about what he's going to do with us. In fact, a lot of times he's just saying, if you would just hush your mouth and you keep your eyes on me, I got this. I got it all covered. I'm taking care of it. And there is not a sparrow in the sky. There's not a lily in the field that goes for want. He takes care of everybody and everything. There isn't anything that you ought to be stressed out, worried about, having anxiety about, and staying up all night thinking about. He's going to be up all night anyway. He don't sleep. He don't get tired. You might as well put it in His hands.
Right.
But do we have a spiritual hunger? And the second part of that verse in Psalms 37 and 26 says, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed. The seed are blessed. The seed, those that follow the blessings of the righteous, they're blessed. How many of you want your kids to be blessed, your children to be blessed?
Amen.
Teach them and show them and live a righteous life before God. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Our relationship with God ought not just be a byproduct of a few hours a week or a checklist that we mark off on Sundays. But righteous living is a daily living. Every day there needs to be a spiritual hunger for the things of God. I don't know about you, but I woke up hungry this morning. I woke up thirsty. In fact, I'm thirsty right now. And you know, when you're thirsty and you're hungry, you look for something to eat. I like chips and salsa. Especially if it involves cream cheese. But I cannot live off of chips and salsa and expect to be sustained healthy or have nutrients that are going to help me to thrive. I like the taste of Pepsi, but Pepsi's not nutritious. Ice cream sundaes are great. And you can have all the ice cream sundaes you want. Some of you want ice cream sundae right now. With the cherry on top and sprinkles and you know, 3 and 4 different flavors of ice cream. But you know what? Ice cream sundae is not nutritious. You're going to eat ice cream sundaes all day long and still be hungry. You need to have some meat. You need to have some flesh. You need to have some carne. You need to have some beans and rice. And you need to have some substance with that. And some folks are living in a way that we're just chasing after the next best thing. We're going after what's the next best thing? There is, once you have the Lord, there's nothing better. It doesn't get any better than serving the Lord. It's all of Him. The scripture says in Colossians 2:10, for you are made complete in Him. He completes us. We're made complete in Him. We cannot be fooled. Somebody say, don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled.
First point tonight is don't be fooled. You can't serve two masters.
That's right.
Matthew 6:24. Is very clear about that. You cannot feed the flesh and walk in the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't work. And I know that there's folks in every home and every church and every place of employment and at school that they have the look. They have the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And we cannot be fooled by talk. We are fruit inspectors. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 21:21 says, He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. Righteousness and honor. Righteousness is right regardless of how we feel. Think about that. No matter how you feel, righteousness is right. If the Bible's against it, whether we like it or not, we should be against it. That's righteousness. If the Bible's for it, no matter if we like it or not, we should be for it. That's why we got to understand that not everything is going to be spelled out of thou shalt and thou shalt not. But we have to have what we would call some biblical principles in our lives or some convictions. Or for some of us been in church for a while, some standards, some things that you know what? It may keep some things in, but lots of times it keeps some things out.
Yeah.
Think about your fence at your house. If you didn't have a fence, there would be some things that get in, but there would be some things that get out. If you have a little dog, You don't want him being gobbled up by a Rottweiler. And if you got kids, you don't want them running out to the front and a car hit them. And the same thing, you just don't want any old buddy to come in and sit in your lawn chair and see your barbecue pit and say, well, there's no fence, there's no gate, I'm just going to go, they're at work, I'm just going to prop in and use their propane to sit in their chair. Hey, it keeps some things in and it keeps some things out. The scriptures are meant for our admonition. The scriptures is meant to help us, to guide us, and to lead us. But do we have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I know that nobody here wants this, but even if I could be with you 24/7, right? You have to be able to have some convictions and some standards and some thou shalts and some thou shalt nots and some biblical principles for yourself and say, you know what? Pastor's not here. I didn't sign it, but you know what? I just don't feel good about it. You know, I know I'm away at the lake, but I just don't feel good about it. I know that I could afford it, but you know what? It is costly array. I know that you know what? It may be okay for the church across town, but you know what? I know how I feel in my spirit, my Holy Ghost. I know what pastor's taught, what pastor preaches. And so bless them. I love them from afar. I'll pray for them. But you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I have a spiritual hunger to follow after God, to follow after righteousness. But let's not be fooled. Tell your neighbor, don't be fooled. See, we can fool one another, but we can't fool God. God sees everything.
Yes, He does.
Yeah. He knows everything. And I know there are folks that have a mindset in this day and age, well, it's me and it's mine, and I got to do what I feel. But to be honest, that's really not new, because the Apostle Paul dealt with that in the Corinthian church. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, he says, this is powerful. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yeah. So just because it feels okay and it looks okay and you can afford it, or other people are doing it, doesn't mean it's okay.
Right.
You know, I have a strong conviction about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm not going to do it.
Nope.
Anybody else have that same conviction? Nobody? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wide is the gate, and narrow is the way. We got to keep our eyes on you. We got to have a spiritual hunger.
Yeah.
We got to have a spiritual hunger. Just like we wake up every day hungry. Some of us are hungry right now. Pastor talking about being spiritually hungry. You say, Pastor, I'm physically hungry right now. I wish you would hurry up so I could go down and eat. We have to have a spiritual hunger. So we're not brought under the power of any.
Right.
I learned something from my elder sister, Amber. Bishop Mullings taught something to a lot of us, but he says, you know, be careful what you buy or what you own, lest what you buy or what you own ends up owning you. It's almost like a proverb.
Mm-hmm.
Just for example, nobody tell your neighbor, don't get offended, he's not talking about you. Wink, wink, right? But just because you can afford that $50,000 truck and they approve you to buy it, but if it means that you're going to have to work 24/7 to make the truck payment every month,
yeah,
and you miss out on family time, and you miss out on church, you can't be the father or the husband that God's called you to be, that thing owns you.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yep.
Do we have a spiritual hunger?
Right.
Do we have a spiritual hunger? We have a lot of things, right? Somebody preached some time back about all the billions of dollars in storage fees and collectibles and storage bins is because we accumulate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not taking any of that stuff with us when we die.
No.
They're not going to bury you in your storage container or at your house, right? They're going to bury you in a box that's big enough and whatever you can afford.
Yep.
Right? Or your family can afford. And they're going to put you in the ground and they're going to remember you when there's times and moments where they remember you. And they're not going to sit back and say, well, he was the vice president of this company. And he worked himself to death. No, they're going to say, they're not going to care about it. Your kids and your family, they're going to remember you for the things that you said and the things that you've done.
Yep. Right.
He's going to look at you and say, you know what? You've done things and you've said things, but your heart was far from me. Depart ye that work from iniquity. I never knew you. Do we have a spiritual hunger to hear those words? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Feelings are fickle. Feelings have highs and lows, right?
Yep.
Feelings pass just like the wind. Sometimes there's folks that don't like to brush their teeth, right? You go to junior camp and there's kids that don't like to take a shower. Folks that don't like to wear their seatbelt. No looking around. Bud Bonham looking at me. But we have to do things that are right regardless of how we feel.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
It may seem harmless. Pastor, it's just a little sin, you know? I'm on vacation. You know, when the Lord comes back, somebody's going to be on vacation.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Think about that. Somebody's going to be retired. He's going to ruin somebody, not ruin, but I'm using this in what terms we can understand. Somebody's retirement's going to get turned upside down. Right? There's going to be some backslider that's going to say, you know, I was on my way to church. Well, you're a day late and a dollar short because he's come back.
That's right.
Do we have a spiritual hunger? Do we hunger for the things of God? Let's not be fooled. It still takes repentance.
Yeah.
Baptism in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But that is the plan of salvation. That is the new birth. That is called being born again of the water and of the Spirit. That is not the end all be all. There's a process. There's a growth. There's a development. You don't just get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and then say, okay, well, now I'm saved and I can still do the things that I used to do and still go to places that I used to do and still, try to go to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week live for the devil and feed the flesh. That doesn't work, friend. That's ignorance. That's foolishness. And that's not appreciating the gift of God that He has given us. We have to have a spiritual hunger and a process of sanctification and a process of purifying ourselves and say, Lord, there's things in me that I know that are in me of bitterness and lying and hatred and I'm revengeful and I get angry and I sin. But oh God, I'm trying to be changed. I'm in a process of sanctification. I'm in a process of getting to be like Jesus. And the more I spend with Him, the more I get to be like Him. And the more I'm with Him, the hungrier I get and the thirstier I get to be with Him. I've made some very dramatic changes in my life recently in regards to my health. And one thing that I've noticed is I am like thirsty all the time. And it seems like the more water I drink, the thirstier I am. But I understand, I've learned something that's natural, that's normal. And it's the same thing with our walk with God. The closer you get to God, the more you want of Him, the more church, the more Bible reading, the more preaching, you just find yourself just thanking the Lord and just thanking Him because you can thank Him. And do we have a hunger, a raw hunger for the things of God and say, you know, I know that there's places and there's things that can bring you happiness, but nothing brings me anything happier than the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Nothing brings me any more joy or satisfaction to know that my children are in the house of God and they're worshiping the Lord with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Second point, well, Matthew 7 and 20, for those of you that are taking notes, the scripture says, wherefore by their fruits you shall show them. You shall know them. The seed is the word of God. And the seed is always good. It always has been. But the soil is the heart and the life of man. And we have to allow the seed to penetrate our soil or the heart and the life of man. And we got to ensure that our seed or the soil is open and receptive and is good soil. We gotta make sure that we don't allow our root system to be contaminated by the toxins of this world. Think about that. We control what we allow into our lives. In fact, Proverbs tells us if sinners entice thee, consent thou, they're not. You control what you bring into your home, what you bring into your mind, what you allow onto your phone, you control that. So do we have a spiritual hunger for the things of the Spirit? Do we have a spiritual hunger for the things of righteousness? Or are we just kind of going with the flow and just kind of whatever happens, happens? I'm afraid that too many Christians live their life just saying, well, I'm just going to go from Sunday to Sunday. What if Sunday doesn't come? What if Sunday doesn't come? We have a lot of religious nuts, but we don't need religious nuts, right? We need Spirit-filled people that are Spirit-led and worshiping a holy God. That's what we need. Fruits of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians tells us, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. Jesus is telling His disciples, He's teaching His disciples, that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So my second point tonight is, what are you hungry for? Nobody say In-N-Out Burger. Don't say In-N-Out Burger. But Jesus in John 6 and 35 says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Are we hungry and thirsty for more of God? Are we? Do we have a spiritual hunger to draw closer to God daily? To be filled with the Spirit and to stay filled with the glory of the Lord? Psalm 63 and 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. I like this part. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and the glory. So have I seen Thee in the sanctuary. You know that you can have an awesome prayer meeting on Thursday nights right here, or you can have an altar experience here, but you can have that same experience every day of your life in your personal devotion.
That's right.
You can. You can have church at home. Put on some shout music and run around the living room. You can, man, you can. We have church all the time. Michaela's always leading us in worship. You can have church and prayer and have the joy of the Lord. Church is not just for the actual building and the collection of people. Church is the people.
Right.
You get the people of God together and begin to worship and call upon the name of the Lord. That's a spiritual hunger. That's where things begin to happen in the Spirit. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart, with everything. If you were starving, you would be looking everywhere for food and asking everybody for food. Let me break something down to you. It's Brother Mercy, I'm almost done. Amen. Hey Jacob, how are you? It's so amazing that we used to drink water out of a water hose, right? Anybody remember that? Sam, you remember that, right? Back in the old days, Brother Brian, right? You remember that? And Sister Christy, you know, the old days, right? Remember that? and now, we leave half-empty water bottles around the house. Right? You won't even water the plants with that water. Right? Listen, this is how spoiled we are as a people. We use water to water our grass and wash our cars. Right? We've just become so cavalier about water, but we won't even drink that same water. Right? But we're out there watering the lawn with it. Sprinklers are on. Go to the car wash or some of you won't even make your coffee with faucet water, right? But think about this. If you were really thirsty, you would drink water from a puddle. Let's be real. If you were really thirsty, you would drink that water hose water. You wouldn't wait for it to get warm. You would just drink it. Or to get cold, you would just drink it warm, right? The same thing with the things of God. Hey, it's not always going to be warm and fuzzy. It's not always going to be the Sunday night shout. I love the Sunday night shout. I want more Sunday night shout. It's not always going to be a revival. It's not going to be a prophetic spirit of prophecy in the church. And it's not always going to be 59 miracles in less than 12 months. There's going to be some days where it's a daily grind. You're like, you know what? I got to get through it. I got to persevere. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up or throw in the towel. Hey, a bad day in the church is better than a good day in the world. Any day with the Lord is a good day. That's why the scripture says this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. But do we have a spiritual hunger for the things of God beyond a church service?
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Well, Pastor, we're all here tonight. I get it. I know I'm preaching to the faithful. But do we have a hunger and a thirst for God beyond Sundays and Wednesdays?
Right.
What does our personal devotion look like? What is it like? Someone that's hungry for the things of God will read their Bible.
Yes.
They'll pray. They'll repent. They'll worship. They'll dress holy and they'll live holy. They'll look for ways to be a blessing and an encouragement to others. Mm-hmm. They'll look for an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. Someone that is hungry and thirsty. So I ask you, do we have a spiritual hunger? Are we spiritually hungry to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name? Or are we spiritually being spirit-led? Are we looking for people that we could share the gospel with and the plan of salvation with and your personal testimony with? Do we have a daily place and time that we pray? Because we have a time to eat, right? Some of us won't even talk to anybody. You don't even look at anybody until you had a cup of coffee. Are we that crazy for Jesus as we are for coffee? Notice this. Are we hungry for a sovereign move of God in our lives, personal lives, where we can see the miracles take place in our lives and it's a normal thing and not just a once in a while thing? Are we hungry to allow the Word of God to speak to us? Not just when pastor's preaching or on a Sunday service, but when we're reading the Word of God for ourselves, that the Word of God begins to minister to us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And I like this part. I've said it before. "Neither is there any creature," or I've read it before, "that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." His Word ought to be the first thing we go to, not an alternative. Think about that. Are we going to folks that are not filled with the Spirit, not Christians, not believers, not actively in the church for advice and recommendations before we go to the Lord? They're not going to give you spiritual advice.
No.
They're not going to lead you down the path of righteousness. Are we connected to people that every time they speak to us, it's things that are contrary to the Word of God? That's not a spiritual hunger. We ought to be enamored. We ought to be pursuing people that every time they speak, it convicts you or it edifies you, it encourages you, it exhorts you, it admonishes you to do better and to get closer to God and to get closer to the cross. Scripture tells us in Psalms 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." I want to be blessed.
Amen.
I want to stay blessed.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about the blessings of materialism in this world. I'm talking about a blessing that only God can give and that God can sustain. That's the kind of blessing that we need and we ought to be craving. A kind of blessing that God gives and God sustains. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. We need to live by the Word of God. Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:2, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." Now, it's Wednesday night Bible study, and I got about 4 more minutes. But the reason why some of us aren't growing is not because your church attendance is because you're not being a doer of the Word. The reason why some folks are not growing is because you're not heeding the Word of God. Sometimes we're looking for answers in all the wrong places. Everything you have and or ever is going to need, the answers are right here in the book. There's nothing new under the sun. But do we have a spiritual hunger? Say, you know, before I pursue entertainment, I'm going to pursue the spiritual food, the spiritual righteousness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that that comes out of the mouth of God. That's what it is. If you were dehydrated, you would look for water. Some of us are spiritually dehydrated because we're not being a doer of the word of God. Think about the Syrophoenician lady in the book of Matthew chapter 15. I'm not going to read it, Vinny, for sake of time, but if you're taking notes, it's Matthew 15 verses 21 through 28. This lady was desperate. She was spiritually hungry for something that Jesus had. Her daughter was possessed. She comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is vexed with the devil. He didn't even say anything to her. And she comes comes and speaks to him and they say, send her away, for she crieth after us. And then he tells her, you know, I don't have anything to do with you because I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. But then she comes and worships him and says, well, that's true, Lord, what you're saying. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the tables. That was a lady that says, you know, I'm hungry for what you got, and I'll just take the crumbs. Whatever it is that you'll give me, just give me the leftovers. Can I tell you, any leftovers that the Lord has is enough to sustain us.
Yes, it is.
Leftovers are good, especially if they're coming from the Lord. He's got so much left over for us that we don't even have room enough to contain what's left over for us. I wish somebody would get a hold of this right now. He's got what's left over for us that if we would just get a hold of what's left over, it's plenty to sustain us. There's got to be a spiritual hunger and say, Lord, I'll just take the leftovers of the blessed because the leftovers of the blessed is still blessed.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Psalmist tells us as we stand this evening, the musicians come, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for thee, O God, for the living God. When shall come and appear before God? Do we wake up or do we go to bed at night thirsting for the things of God? We come into this sanctuary with an expectation that it's not just church and it's not just going to be church as usual, but there's going to be something miraculous that takes place. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get baptized. Somebody's going to be forgiven. It could be the last opportunity I get to the altar because maybe the Lord's going to come back and call me home. Do we have a hunger? Are we living for God with an urgency, with a sense of urgency? You know what? Every day that I wake up is a gift from God. And every time I get to church, it's an opportunity for me to give God the glory for what He has done. So I know this is a little unorthodox. We did it last week, and I'm going to do it again tonight. But I want you to find somebody that doesn't sit in front of you or beside you, and I want you to go to them before we come to the altar. So let's go to them real quick. Let's do it. Find somebody that doesn't sit in front of you or beside you or behind you. Just go to them real quick. This is good. It's going to be all right. You get extra credit for participation. All right. Find somebody. All right. If there's a visitor here, introduce yourself to the visitor. Come on, it's Wednesday night Bible study. Introduce yourself to the visitor. All right. Now, here, Pastor, I want you to tell them one thing that you want God to do for you this year before the year's up. And if it's an unspoken request, then just say it's an unspoken request. But tell them one thing that you want to see God do for yourself, that you need God to do. Maybe you have a backslidden kid. Maybe you need God to heal. Maybe you got some business decisions that you need God to give you guidance with. Maybe you want to read the Bible through for the year. Just tell that person one thing. Let's do that real quick. 15 seconds. One thing I want God to do for me this year. All right, now tell the next person. Now, Trey, what's one thing you want God to do for you this year? Now the Bible says if there's two or three gathered together in my name, there He is in the midst of them. I want you to pray together right where you are right now. And I want you to bind together as brothers and sisters and family. If you want to come to the altar, you want to pray right where you are. But I want you to bind together as a church family. And just say, God, whatever my brother or sister was courageous enough to tell me that they want God to do for them, I want you to pray for them right now. Just begin to pray with them. Begin to pray for them. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray, oh God. If it's to get out of debt, if it's to get healthy, if it's to get the Holy Ghost, if it's to be healed, if it's to see their backslidden kids in church, come on. What is one thing you want God to do for you? Two or three gathered together in His name. He's in our midst. He's in our midst. He's in our midst. He's in our midst tonight. Hallelujah. Bless my brother. Bless my brother. Bless them today, oh God. Bless them today, oh God. Keep your hand on them today, oh God. Come on, RT, that's it. I lift it up to you, oh God. Right now, God. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry to see them blessed.